Yeah, because it may be a controversial thesis what I'm going to talk about, so I really would like yeah you to express what you think about without yeah of course without killing me if you don't agree or I mean don't get violent please anyway but so yeah so so I'm considering now so among the different ways to see the Hoare effect, which says that an accelerated detector should see radiation in the Minkowski vacuum, there is the more concrete one is just consider a detector model and see how it behaves and see how it behaves when the detector is taken and forced to follow an accelerated trajectory. Now, the detector model is made by is a quantum mechanical model. It lives in a Hilbert space, which is made by the Hilbert space of the detector, times.
May I ask a question? What is the physical problem that you are targeting? You're studying this model for what?
So people studied this model to see to give an operational definition of the Hoare effect. So
of the Unruh effect.
Hoare effect.
Unruh.
Sorry. So this talk is about Unruh effect. Sorry.
I thought you said Uhuru effect.
No, there is an ace, right? There is an ace in it.
No, it's still in general. Could you be a little more specific?
Is it like that?
It's been 30 years now. So what is something special that interests you that you want to convey to us?
We'll see. We'll see. So
you mentioned is the radiation, whether there is radiation or...
He's going to introduce a new point of view about the Unruh effect, which we're not going to like, and which we're supposed to find what's wrong with.
Yeah.
Well,
so.
Okay, I have to stay.
Okay. So. So. Yeah. The Hilbert space describing your detector and the Hilbert space of the field. So first in simplicity. So the Hilbert space of the detector may be as simple as a two-level system, like ground state of the detector and the excited state of the detector, and the Hilbert space of the field is of course infinite dimensional, as we all know, etc. So. In order to prescribe, so the detector model is fixed when we write down an Hamiltonian for it, right? So the dynamics usually used in to study the Hoare effect is the following. So you take a free Hamiltonian for the detector. This is typically. You can imagine something like delta E 0, 0, 0, since we are in only two levels. We are just considering two levels. Then you have the free Hamiltonian of the field. So the field is usually taken to be otherwise free, if not coupled to the detector. So this will be something like D3K, C, dagger K, CK, A K C dagger K C K. So this is the usual dispersion relation of the field, K square plus M square. These are usual creation and annihilation operators. And then you have the interaction Hamiltonian, which is usually taken of this form. So the interaction of Hamiltonian is usually taken as some operator acting inside the two levels here. So this operator will contain some out of diagonal element in order to allow the detector to be excited if some quantum is detected. Let's call it delta. Yeah, bad name. Anyway. And times the field calculated in the point of the where the detector is. Okay, so when Harold came here, I asked him, why did you choose this emitter? And he said, well, because the detector is a localized object, so it couples to the local fields in X of T and T. Great. So how the Unruh effect comes out? The Unruh effect comes out because if you go in the interaction picture, so you introduce an interaction Hamiltonian time dependent, and you calculate the amplitude probability of exciting a quantum of momentum k in time, this is going to be something like, so you take, so of course there is a very special state in this framework, and the state is when the detector is in its ground state, and the field is in the vacuum. Okay, so we will focus on the state a little bit, but just okay. So let me write down this state here. So there is a particular configuration, which is this one in this model detector. Now, AK is given by, so this is a field of a state of the field with a one particle state of the field with momentum K times some excited state of the detector, which we called E, I think. So I put a D here because this is the detector. Then I have to integrate the interaction Hamiltonian in the interacting picture from, let's say, minus t to plus t, and then I want to calculate the transition between the above state and this state. Okay. So it comes out that so first of all, this Hamiltonian has got out of the diagonal elements, which allow this transition. And you can tell because inside HI there is a phi, and inside phi there is an H dagger. Of course, phi is defined as usual as the integral of e to the ik, so phi in x, ikx times a of k over ak plus complex conjugate, and this complex conjugate contains an A dagger. So you are allowed to transitions between the vacuum of the field and the first excited state of the field. This amplitude goes in time. So so if you take the detector to be at rest, you have a finite amplitude, a finite transition probability at any time, at any finite time, because this amplitude, let's say at rest, goes like sine of delta A times plus, sorry, E of K over times T over delta E plus A K. Correct? Yeah. So when time goes to infinity, this becomes a delta function of a strictly positive quantity. And so we are very happy because we say our detector is not going to detect anything when it's at rest. This is the amplitude at rest. Okay? So the amplitude is going to be zero. Now, I want to concentrate. So the amplitude is generally.
The amplitude is zero in the limit of T.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
This is
oscillatory. Yeah. That's zero. Yeah, but it does in the limit because it becomes a delta function. A delta function of delta E plus EK. So this is a positive definite quantity. Delta function positive definite quantity is zero. So this is, this is like imposing the on-shell the on-shell condition on S matrix elements, as we see. But so So what I find that okay, if you follow instead of this, if you instead of putting the detector at rest, you follow an accelerated trajectory, you find out that this amplitude is not doesn't go to zero, but stays at a finite value at any time. Okay, so this is the Wurm effect. But what allows the Wurm effect is, in the first place, I think, the fact that this Hamiltonian has got this out of diagonal elements. So this Hamiltonian, so this crucial vector is not an eigenstate of the full Hamiltonian of the model. So I'm arguing that this is so with Fabio Costa, which is the co-author of this preprint, if it doesn't get destroyed by you today, we are arguing that this is a bad detector. All the detectors that you may think of, at least that I can think of, if they are good detector, have to be eigenstates of the total Hamiltonian of the model. So, so take as an example the hydrogen atom in its ground state. It's a nice detector. So, hydrogen atom in its ground state, if there is a photon around, can get excited and go to some internal excited state. Still, the configuration. So what's in this example taken from particle physics, what's the configuration? So this configuration is the hydrogen atom in its ground state, full stop. No photons around, nothing. Now this, I just think I may think of a QED theory with protons and electrons of some masses. I give to them the right masses, and the hydrogen atom in its ground state should be an eigenstate. So it's a bound state of this theory, right? So it should be an eigenstate of the total of the full Hamiltonian of the underlying particle model. So this vector is not an eigenstate of this Hamiltonian. My hydrogen atom state in its ground state, it's an eigenstate of QED with protons and electrons. So this is what I think. It's interesting to note that
your point is that if I use for a detector a hydrogen atom in its ground state and I put it in the vacuum of the ground state of the electromagnetic field,
I cannot do that, but anyway.
It never clicks.
So I cannot put the hydrogen atom in the ground state of the photons, because the photons are inside the atom somehow. But the hydrogen atom will be a state of the theory. And it will be an eigenstate
of energy of the full Hamiltonian. Of the full
Hamiltonian of this QED.
And therefore, your claim is that the amount of A of T,
this should be an eigenstate,
is zero.
Sorry, that?
Therefore, you claim that rather than the expression there, that the expression for AK of T for the hydrogen atom.
Yeah.
The detector is
strictly
zero for any.
So my claim is not so strong. My claim is that I don't know how to treat it in a self-consistent way accelerated detectors, because it's going to be more determined. If it's at rest, it's going to be zero. Yes.
And if that contrasts to this.
And this contrasts to this. So at rest, if a detector is good, this transition is going to be zero. So. Other things to say at this level.
But in Anu's paper, when he treated the inertial motion, he also showed that there's no click, right? It's not excited and there's no particle. So
as an asymptotic.
It doesn't matter, right? Because the Lorentz invariance dictates that you cannot
Well, if it's an inertial motion, we see that there is a non-vanishing amplitude.
Are you saying this is what Anu claimed, or you think?
So this vanishing amplitude for inertial detectors, I don't know how to interpret it. I mean, I don't know if to interpret it as a dark count of fundamental origin, so the detector just clicks in the vacuum for fundamental reasons, or just try to think that it's somehow some weird quantum effect, like the energy time indetermination. If I don't wait enough time, I don't know what's going on, so I don't even.
This is just time dependent perturbation.
Yeah.
Strange. And you're not seeing anything strange.
Well, so you believe that a detector can click on the vacuum or not?
Do I believe what?
A good detector, could it click at the vacuum at finite times and perhaps erase the record after a while or not? Or this is just a bad description of what's going on?
Okay, so you are raising the difference between infinite time trajectory and finite time, and your claim is a finite time, it could be a tick. I just want to understand what you're claiming and what you're
so building on. I'm saying that there are two effects. One is the possible click or some transition at finite times, and the other one is the Hurro effect itself.
Let's not talk about the Hurro effect.
Okay.
Isn't that the Hurro effect? Is it an inertial neuronal geodesic, or is it being accelerated?
So now I want to focus on the case of an inertial detector.
Is the detector being accelerated or not?
So not. Now I want to.
Flat space,
Minkowski space.
There's nothing. Yeah.
Are you claiming something? We don't understand.
I'm claiming the Frog principle. The Frog principle. This is what I'm claiming. So the Frog principle. Says that in my detector model there will be a configuration which is detector in its ground state and vacuum. Now I will put my detector at rest, and in my detector model this has to be an eigenstate strictly of the total Hamiltonian of the detector model. So this was at rest, let's say. Then we see if it's got consequences. Some observer. Yeah. So I take an inertial frame, I put it at rest. So this is the case, again, this is the case of the hydrogen atom in its ground state. This is the case of a stable particle. So of course, so because we are used so much, I think this is my guess, we are used so much to calculate asymmetric elements, and where we borrow the initial and final states from the free theory consistently in the asymmetric elements, that we are used to have these strange transitions. Like, for instance, if I take a lambda phi to the 4 theory, well, inside lambda phi to the 4, there are also terms of the type a dagger, a dagger, a dagger, a dagger. So I may say, this Hamiltonian has got strange matrix element between four particle states, HI, and the vacuum, because this creates four particles from the vacuum. But this is the vacuum of the free theory. So the lambda phi to the 4 theory will have a proper vacuum state, will have a set of stable one particle states, and when I write the total Hamiltonian of this theory with respect to those states, this will be diagonal on those states, by definition of eigenstates, right? So on its true vacuum, this Hamiltonian will be diagonal. This is the fake vacuum. Now, so even in this theory, one may think, okay, I may try to do a detector by taking a stable particle in this theory and just make it travel alone. Well, the stable particle of this theory will be a state, again, and this state will be an eigenstate of the Hamiltonian. If I use the particle of the free theory, yeah, there won't be eigenstates of this Hamiltonian, of course, but because I'm using the wrong particles. So I'm using the wrong states. I'm just using the states of the free theory. I think this is a little bit what's happening here. Sorry, you were asking?
But in principle, perhaps it's not related, but what you see, the detector is much, then if it is a dropping out, for example, it should have a field which one in time, and perhaps the, you know.
Yeah, but I can always put myself at rest with the. This is why I always call my detector at rest, because in order to, I want to be, I mean, my detector has to be here with me. And I'm at rest, and he's at rest, and I want to see what comes out. Yeah, of course, by relativistic invariance, this is equal to.
Not in the detector, it's not in motion. In inertial motion.
Yeah, I'm considering detectors in inertial motion. In inertial motion, yeah. Yeah.
Because also it's
something that is detecting the detector in nature motion, which is not filled by the test. Yeah. So I have an objection to the Bragg principle. But that's not what people usually mean by measurement. Right? When you measure something, you destroy the state. But then you are.
That's not true. I mean, yeah. So it's true.
Okay.
I say it's right. I mean, it's correct that this, if you want to take this issue properly, you should have to go down into measurement theory, and this is another issue.
This is an important question, because I mean, you always have quantum fluctuations on the field, right?
So well, not in the real vacuum. The real vacuum is an eigenstate of the Hamiltonian.
In the vacuum, there are quantum fluctuations.
Yeah. In the free vacuum.
Let me pose a question.
Yeah.
I think the point is made before you get to under radiation. You're either right or wrong in your fact principle. We're used to saying, if I want to measure the energy of a system within a finite window of time,
Okay,
I cannot measure it to be in an energy eigenstate.
That's super great. Yeah.
Is it delta E, which is the time over h bar?
Yeah.
And I can only determine it's within energy eigenstates within a range of delta E.
Yeah.
And that's why if I have a detector sitting at rest and I ask the question within a finite time window T, did it click? Even if it's in the vacuum, there's a small amplitude that it would click.
This is a perfectly, that's a great question, I think I disagree with part of it. Let's consider another situation, right? Let's consider an excited atom. An excited atom will go into ground state, I call it plus photon, okay, at some point, okay? Okay, you're perfectly right in saying that when I consider the amplitude for this transition, again, I will be able to consider an amplitude for the photon K, okay? Photon of energy K. Now, the amplitude for the photon of energy K will, in time, peak around the K such that it's got the energy right in order to compensate the transition, okay? So there will be an energy of these two levels in the atom. And of course, if I wait long enough time, only those photons that will have that energy will come out of the atom. And there will be a transition in the middle where you have all the varieties of photons because of what you're saying.
There's a width to the energy of the excited state related to the lifetime.
Yeah, precisely. The lifetime is connected with the energy difference, and the energy difference is what you expect from the final photons. There will be a transition in the meantime that realizes what you are saying. So the time energy.
For the natural line width, as we all know, and it will be the
yeah.
So,
yeah.
So what is the mystery behind I still?
No, there is no mystery. I mean, I'm just saying that this is context, because this is not an eigenstate of the full theory. So I'm just saying that. The usual time, I mean, I'm not contesting the usual time energy indetermination. That one is there, and you can see it in a variety of examples. I'm just objecting that the state of the hydrogen atom in its ground state may go somewhere else at finite times. The state of the hydrogen atom is an eigenstate of the Hamiltonian. This is my point. Then. Well, there is a disagreement because you see. I'm sorry.
That's why I said if it's really a dependent perturbation theory, you have to think about the in-state of state usually as representation, right? And of the free Hamiltonian, and you look at the HI as a perturbation within a certain range.
Yeah.
And in the way that Andrew explained it very clearly, it's actually acting like a thermometer, it's a test field approximation.
Yeah.
So all those things were explained there, and including what you just said there, it's nothing strange to me. I mean, it's a different representation. If you insist on getting the eigenstate of the full Hamiltonian rather than H0 plus HI, we also know how to deal with that. Right?
No, but sorry. No.
What is the physical
issue? The physical issue is that is the Frog principle. So I'm saying that strictly, in my detector, if it's a good one, if my frog is a good frog, otherwise I give it back. But if it's a good frog, it shouldn't. So this is going to be an eigenstate of the detector model,
so
strictly. Then we have to. This is, I mean, for me, strictly, this is a separate issue because it depends on how I make it accelerating consistently. Yeah, later on, yeah. Sorry? In this talk, hopefully, yeah. Yeah.
If I may just wrap this up, because at the inertial level, at least, you already have some points. So let's, the way I look at it is that you have a point, of course, and there's real situations where in cavity QED, people talk about dress atom, because there's only one mole and there's a two-level atom. And you can change to the other representation, which is a dress atom, which is in fact your full Hamiltonian. There's nothing wrong.
Yeah, if you do, so if you calculate this amplitude with the dress atom, this is going to be zero because of matrix elements, not because of its dependence of T, because of its matrix element.
Bill was considering, and many people who refer to Unruh effect, was considering the case like what we usually do for the Bayesian theory, right?
Yeah, but
there's a different story to
tell. Great. But usually you do perturbation theory for calculating S matrix elements. And in that formalism, you can consistently borrow the states of the free theory.
So let me refer you to a work of Dr. Lin, who we're lucky that he is here. The case he studied is exactly what you're saying. That is, he got an exact solution of the Unruh DeWitt detector with interaction with the field in both inertial as well as the uniform excitation. So this is an upgrade of Bill Unruh's calculation after 30 years, in that what you've written down is a perturbation theory, whereas he has an exact solution, which means there's also back reaction. Physically, what it means that the detector is no longer acting like a thermometer. And the whole thing is an eigenstate of your combined Hamiltonian.
Oh, great.
So if you compare that result.
Right, but if it's an eigenstate, you're not going to see anything because.
Exactly. So it's, I think it resolves this puzzle. You
have. Well, that's very interesting.
Because in the Markovian region, you recover the Unruh result. And that is, of course, the test field situation. And we know that time dependent perturbation theory corresponds to Markovian result. So what you're looking at, if I expand it and make it sort of give the physical content to your question, you can see that in those other cases
where are we looking at?
It's no longer a thermometer because the quantum correlation through the back reaction on the detector has changed the state of the detector as acting like a probe, but rather there's a crosstalk between
them. I will look into them.
Yeah.
I'll look there. Sorry, you wanted to say something? No, Rafael.
I wanted to give a physical argument why this distinction that you're drawing probably won't change the essence of the situation. But maybe it's better than we, if you want, I can give it now. It's just that if you turn this on and wait a little while, then it will go to its ground state if you work to sufficiently high order of perturbations. And then you would be in the situation that you want to be in. So if the original calculations are not misleading, no one here, I think, thinks that they really are misleading. If you can trust the initial calculations, if you turn this detector on and wait long enough, Well, what you've done by not starting in transit, sort of just turn it on at a moment in time.
Yeah.
Then it'll allow to transit, but then if it's accelerating, it'll also see a thermal bath. And it'll make a series of transitions where it gets excited, then de-excited, excited again.
Yeah, but you see,
after a while, it won't matter.
Yeah, but you see that these transitions are allowed. These transitions are allowed in the first place because you have a Hamiltonian which has this.
Sorry, I'm thinking of an accelerating.
Yeah, well.
So after a while, it should not matter what state you started in.
And you have studied the transition.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
I think the issue might be mathematically whether.
Great, no.
The next order of perturbation. Make a fundamental change to the
position. So, but sorry, do we agree that if I use as a Uhre detector at rest, a stable particle of the theory, these matrix elements are going to be zero?
Yeah, so in other words,
great, okay.
If you just turn it on at a moment of time, like we were saying, then they won't be zero, but it'll soon decay.
No. I'm saying something different. Okay. I'm talking about matrix elements here, not behavior in time. The matrix elements are zero. Like a stable particle of some theory is an eigenstate of the total Hamiltonian of the theory.
Yeah,
so it doesn't go anywhere else. It's just an eigenstate.
Can we see
you don't have this.
I'm saying if you started in the wrong state. Your point is that it started in the wrong state.
No, I'm saying that a good detector should start in the right state,
if
which is.
In the wrong state, it'll evolve to the right state fairly rapidly, and then it'll stop clicking. That's your point.
No. My point is, a good detector at rest, a good model detector. My point is, so a good model detector when it's at rest. We'll have a configuration. In a model detector, there will be a configuration that is this one, which is detector unexcited and the vacuum. Now, in all good detectors that I can think of, a block of quartz, there will be a QED theory where this block of quartz is an eigenstate of the entire theory. So this block of quartz won't transit in anything else. In the full theory, okay. And the frog is the same.
Is sorry. That your initial state is not the eigenstate of H.
Yeah.
So it's actually a switch state for the.
Yeah, but it's not. So I want to define.
Can we see how the effect
on the. All right.
Suppose you take the vacuum state of the.
All right.
What happens?
Okay.
So maybe it's time to go into the unruly.
Yeah.
It's something the vector space is wrong.
How much is going to detect as well?
So in order to model the Uhre effect, since the hydrogen atom is a bit difficult, I use a three field theory. Okay, so I'll write a Lagrangian as L of a particle A. Plus L of a particle B plus L of a particle phi, which is the same particle that I want to detect, while these two sectors will be the whole sector, the detector, plus an interaction, which I take of the form mu times phi chi. Eta. So phi is my old field that I want to detect. Sorry, let me put them in this order. It doesn't change anything, but chi, eta, phi, okay? So I just have a vertex with three particles, okay? Now, so let's see. So these are just the three Lagrangian. So let's study this theory a little bit. So I will have a very light quantum. So phi is a light quantum of a mass m, small m. Chi will be our detector in the disexcited states and will be a particle of mass m. Eta will be the detector in its excited state. so m bar. So ideally, these two masses are much bigger than this one. And the difference between these two masses is of the same order as this one. OK? So.
Are these two detectors sitting at the same point in the space time?
Which two detectors? Sorry.
Pi and eta.
K and eta, this is a relativistic invariant field theory.
So,
these are fields. I'm going to a quantum field theory model. So I want to prove that if you write a detector in terms of fundamental fields, it will have the property that I was saying. The corresponding state, that one will be an eigenstate of the total Hamiltonian. And I will write down explicitly this detector. So, here I made a mess, but it's still chi, eta, and phi.
A and B is the same detector.
So A and B are two different fields, and I want to make out from these two sectors of the theory one detector.
So typically, excited or not excited?
Precisely. So. So A is a nice detector in its ground state because why? Because the field chi cannot decay in anything else.
Excuse me, Felipe, you need to tell us more. What's the relationship between A and B on one hand and chi and theta on the other hand?
Sorry. Great. Very good question.
So it's L chi, L theta.
So I have for each of these fields I have five different names. Just to make things simpler.
Plenty of letters
scroll
around in the alphabet.
But you see, I already see a fundamental difference from Because
I may go home
for contact potential, right?
For a?
The way your interaction with Lagrangian chi A to phi when you wrote down. It's not making the chi and beta serve as a detector as unruled one. So you will be seeing something different from the beginning.
Why say that?
Well, carry on. And I'll say that.
Right. So the chi field is a stable particle. It's a stable particle because it may decay kinematically. It may decay into 2m, for instance. So m is much smaller than m and okay. But it cannot, because of this interaction, because of the so formally you can find out a discrete symmetry into this interaction that doesn't allow you chi to decay into 2m. So chi is a stable field, stable particle. So eta is not a stable particle because eta can decay into chi and phi. And of course, if a phi quantum is around, chi can absorb it, can capture it, and create a metastable state theta. So the final idea would be identify this state in a model detector as a stable particle alone in the vacuum. A stable particle alone in the universe. Stable particle alone in the universe will correspond in a model detector to that state. So there is some.
But Federico, what you stated in words are not reflected on the other side. Could you add some condition? Because you specify chi to be different from eta in its way that it interacts with phi. So, in other words, physically.
No, the masses. It's kinematics.
Can you repeat what you said? Because, and then put it in the Lagrangian.
So this theory has the following characteristics. Phi and chi are stable particles, eta is not. Because eta can decay into chi and phi.
So your detector is
eta? My detector is this sector of the theory. But that configuration of the detector model, which I call like this, will correspond to an excitation of the stable particle chi. So I want to.
Your detector is a one particle state for chi and a zero particle state.
Precisely. Yeah.
So how do you from this construct this other detector?
Okay, so I had to write down the Hamiltonian of interaction for this theory. Okay, so the interaction of Hamiltonian will be of the following type. So let me introduce. So I have now many momenta over which to integrate, unfortunately, but it won't be too bad. Sorry?
Your detector isn't localized?
My detector is a quantum field theory. So this is a relativistic invariant quantum field theory. I still don't know how to build out a detector in detail out of it. I will choose.
The detector is not localized, it's quantum field. Probably it's very
long. Yeah. So, K2, E. K3. Now, these are the three different dispersion relations of these three fields. So it means that this is just a square root of K square plus M square. This is the square root of K square plus M bar square. And this is the dispersion relations that we wrote there. And and this is the integration on the momentum shell. So this is, in fact, the 3k1, the 3k2, the 3k3 times delta function of k1 plus k2 plus k3. Okay. Now, I just expand these three fields into creation and annihilation operator. So I have a of k1 plus a dagger of minus k1. B of K2 plus B dagger of minus K2, C K3 plus C dagger of minus K3. Great. So.
Where do you put delta there?
A delta.
Yeah.
Because it comes out from the fact that these are all considered in the same point of space, a delta function come out. Conservation of momentum. So, okay. So from this, now, this Hamiltonian, taken at its face value, has the same problem of our old detector. Because, of course, if I try to make to the A particle make the role of the detector in its unexcited state, I would consider states of this type, okay? So now you see why I call these fields also A, because I'm using A, B, and C, creator and operator. So, okay. So, if I consider the following state, this is not going to be an eigen state of this Hamiltonian, of course, because this is the eigen state of the free theory. For instance, a term inside here, there will be a term of the type A, B dagger, C dagger. This will create two particles like B and C type from out of the state. But this is just because this isn't the eigen state of the full Hamiltonian. Okay, so I want to write down, so I want to make my to play the role of my detector to an eigen state of the full Hamiltonian, because I know that this theory has stable particles, and these stable particles at least will be eigen state of the full Hamiltonian. So in order to do it, we tried to use the dressing particle approach. So the dress particle approach. So the idea is very simple, actually. You just want to make a unitary transformation on the space on the Hilbert space of the fields, such that the vacuum of the free theory goes into the dress vacuum. And you write it as a unitary transformation time the vacuum of the free theory. your various creation and annihilation operator will go similarly. So A will go to A dress, which is equal to U A times U dagger. Okay. So just to make this point clear, I'm not diagonalizing this Hamiltonian. I'm just write it in terms of at least those particles that I know are eigen state, and I want this to come out from the final phase of the Hamiltonian. So,
which Q are you going to address your phi Q? Is that the eta?
So I'm going to address all the fields, except
all
that.
The three fields to combine into a dress state. Is that what you're saying?
Sorry?
There's a fundamental difference of the outcome. Are you addressing phi with eta? Or, as you just said, are you combining eta, chi, and phi into a dress state, the three?
So what I'm doing is a unitary transformation in the Hilbert space.
I know.
Okay. And I'm asking that. This is the vacuum state of the full theory.
The full theory?
Yeah. That this is A dagger K dressed. A dagger dressed times the dressed vacuum is an eigenstate of the full theory. And that C dagger dressed is an eigenstate of the full theory. If I try, you will see that if I try to impose that also B dagger is an eigenstate, I fall into a contradiction. And this is consistent because we know that these aren't going to be eigenstates.
You know that the definition of particle in this representation is different from the definition of
the
particle.
Yeah. Yeah, but you should refer to the proper states.
Okay, so you're changing Bill Andrews' problem. Fine. Because he's asking a different question.
Physically, it doesn't make any sense to me putting at the beginning, to begin with, a vector which has got the transitions.
Can I make a suggestion that you go to the calculation of the accelerated vector because both of you know the.
Let's go.
I don't know what you're talking. You're referring to the calculation, both of you know the result. Well, I know the unreal effect, but I don't know what you're talking about.
But that U and U dagger are going to be functions of all quantum operators, A, B, and C, right?
Precisely. And I'll be able to build them only perturbatively, so at each order in perturbation theory. So at first order in perturbation theory, it comes out that, the spirit is I'm changing the states of the Hilbert space, but in fact what I'm actually doing for practical reason is just changing the Hamiltonian. So let me just go to the final form of the dressed Hamiltonian written in terms of the dressed particle, okay? Just to because the time is flying. So d k1 k2 k3 over times A K1 B dagger K2 key K3 CK3 plus A dagger K1 minus K1 B K2 C dagger minus K3. Okay, this is so these you should read them really as dressed. So just because I wanted to make a to write also the K inside here. So these are the dressed particles. And you can see explicitly that the free part of the Hamiltonian doesn't change after this dressing. And this is what come out at first order in perturbation theory from the dressing procedure. So you can see explicitly now that the set of particles A, so yeah, the states A dagger on the vacuum now are eigenstate of this Hamiltonian. Also C dagger. So basically, so just to go a little bit more into the details of what you're doing is you're writing HI goes into HI dressed. HI dressed, a disorder in perturbation theory is written as HI plus the commutator of some function of the fields that you can introduce times H3. So this H3 contains all HA, HB, and HC. Okay? HB plus HC. Okay? So you make an ansatz for this function of this type. You want to get rid of the so basically you choose this function in such a way that you get rid of this term. Okay? The terms which does not represent physical process. If you try to get rid also of this term, you fall into a contradiction because this for the good terms, this is gonna be equal to WK1 minus WK2 plus AK3. But this is the energy shell. So times regular, okay? This means that I cannot fix R, or at least I cannot give a regular function R of the k's such that it gets rid of the good terms because they get this commutator gets multiplied by the on-shell condition, and the on-shell condition goes to zero on the momentum shell. So you see, this is a little bit what happens in S matrix, but there you use only asymptotic states. Here you're imposing it really at the level of the Hamiltonian.
So that is the dressed Hamiltonian that you wrote.
Yeah.
There. So
yeah.
Claiming that this procedure of dressing kills off all the cross terms.
Yeah. Yeah, because all the other combinations, does not vanish on the momentum shell.
Oh, they don't conserve energy.
They don't conserve energy, but technically, what it means is that as a function of the k in the momentum shell, I can always find the function, a regular function of the k in momentum shell that kills the bad terms. But in order to cancel out the good terms, I would need a function that has a bad singularity on the momentum shell. Precisely. So, I mean, I can refer. I have some references for this. It goes back in the 60s. This approach, and then has been used, especially in nuclear physics, as far as I know. So I really want to go at the end, and at the end, so I want to write this configuration as some one particle state dressed this time times some f of k a dagger k1 a dagger k over the vacuum, where now A is a dress particle operator, and H and zero is the dress vacuum. Now, you see explicitly, of course, that this is going to be an eigen state of the Hamiltonian, of the entire Hamiltonian, and so we choose.
Zero is just referring to the field.
So in this case, zero is both the field. Both the field in the model detector and the field in the fundamental theory. Notice that if I wanted to use the hydrogen atom to do this stuff, I mean, it would be very naive to consider the hydrogen atom as the vacuum field of the photons, because it's not the case. But in this case, it is. I mean, in this case, you really have three different fields, and I can excite one and leave the other in their vacuum, because the vacuum for this theory is a vacuum of A times vacuum of B times vacuum of C. Because of the commutation relations that are preserved through the disunitary transformation.
Which is different from the dress one.
Both of them.
OD is different from O5, right?
Or zero.
That's your point, right? The dress vacuum is constructed.
Yeah, that yeah, way. Yeah.
And the vacuum that you just wrote down, which is a direct product of A, B, and C.
No, but I'm saying that in any detector that I actually build with real fields, this is going to be the real vacuum. Otherwise, I'm talking about something that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So this is the real vacuum, yeah.
These are two different physical conditions, right? Just like earlier, we talked about the dress atom. We don't have three fields, we have the atom and the field. We construct that combined representation using some Clebsch-Bolden coefficient, which is very simple, and you get to that transformation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay? So here, we just want to find out what you're doing. You have a dress vacuum constructed by that construction, right, with the three components.
This is it, yeah.
Right. And what is the zero now?
So I'm just saying, here is a state in a model detector. So I have two different theories. A model detector with two different Hilbert space and an effective Hamiltonian that describes effectively what's the detector. Then I have the full theory, which is a relativistically invariant quantum field theory. I want to match. I want to use a little bit of understanding and trying to match these two things.
So you're proposing to replace,
yes, precisely,
OD with O5
model detector
with that other thing that
through theory.
Once.
Yeah.
What is that vacuum? Is that the dress vacuum?
Yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah. So from now on, I'm
that,
writing. Yeah.
That guy's the one. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And this is also dressed. And this is also dressed. This,
yeah,
A dagger of K, and this is also dressed. This is also dressed. So also in this Hamiltonian, all these operators are addressed. So to make a short, then you have to choose the configuration of your particle. Okay. So you suppose you have a very big massive particle. And it's sitting there. Okay, this, of course, this state will satisfy the Frog principle. Now, what happens if I also have a C particle? So, of course, if I have a C particle, the state that I want to consider at the beginning is something different. So,
that state should represent the detector that just moves.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, precisely.
So, I understand what you said, but I'm still confused about Weidman. Are you going to take the state and accelerate it?
No. Oh. This is too difficult. But I will write down the effective Hamiltonian for a steady particle. And the effective Hamiltonian that comes out from this is unfortunately very predictable. Because I just got rid of the bad terms in this. And you go through all this process. You made some assumption on the masses. The mass had to be big with respect to the mass. To the mass, and I write down this different interacting Hamiltonian, which is the following: sigma plus times phi plus sigma minus phi minus. It's very. It was predictable. It was predictable. So this phi plus is just the 3k a of k over AK e to the I KX.
This is what Unruh does.
No, this is not.
This is not Unruh.
Because.
Don't show, just say.
No, because you see that. So here there are also mixed terms. So this Hamiltonian on this model vector goes to zero. Why? Because the vacuum. Okay. This is non-local, precisely.
So it's a totally non-local.
Yes.
So is your.
Because, yeah, but this is also the point that I want to make.
But is your claim, result, expectation, hope that if you now take this and accelerate it.
I mean, if I accelerate it naively, these are relativistically invariant objects, okay? So. These two don't commit with each other, but are relativistically invariant objects. So the form of this Hamiltonian doesn't change, and the overall effect is not there.
Okay, no, that's the statement.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's a result?
Yeah.
In other words, if I replace the local coupling of Unruh,
yeah,
as the coupling with the detector to a local field,
with this effective Hamiltonian,
it's effective but highly non-local coupling.
Yeah, but I can, then it comes from a local Lagrange.
Sure. Then you claim two results. Okay, one which you've shown us is that the detector quote address, that is your system of this quantum field with the eta particle in its one particle state, does never make a transition to any other state.
The eigen state.
Which is the analog of the detector at finite time never clicks. Then two, okay, if you now do the unruh Bryce DeWitt calculation with this instead of the sigma dot phi of x of t, if you now do this of x of t, integral dt, where x of t is a hyperbolic accelerated trajectory, that the amplitude is strictly zero and the unruh detector never sees anything.
Yes. So
that's your claim.
Yeah. Okay. So what I want to, there are only two points that I want to make, and then we can stop if you're happy with this. One is that this is a very idealized model because I can excite in this model the A fields and leave the other fields in their vacuum. It's not the case of the hydrogen atom. So the hydrogen atom contains a bit of photons. So I don't know what's happening if I'm actually accelerating it. Maybe that it mess around with the photon and see something and as transitions. I don't know. This detector is not going to, like, if naively I force this stable particle around whatever trajectory, this is strictly, so again, this state is strictly an eigen state of this Hamiltonian.
So this HI is different from that HI, or it is the same?
So this is the HI that comes out at the effective level. So that's a good point, of course.
You have to look for the D's. That HI is very different from this HI D.
Yeah, so I take this.
HID is approximately this HI over there.
Yeah, so I take this HID. Then I take the A sector and the B sector. I calculate the amplitude from A to B, and I integrate over K. And I construct a model Hamiltonian in which these amplitudes are exactly the same. So it means that the amplitude of exciting this detector is precisely the amplitude of exciting a B particle. If I choose a configuration, an initial configuration for the A particle, where F is localized, is the initial configuration has to be not too much spread on the case, et cetera, et cetera. But the amplitude matches perfectly at first order in perturbation theory. So this is my claim.
What kind of asymptotic states? Because in the Rindler space, the asymptotic states would be the two wedges, the wedge where you would go from the past horizon to the future horizon. Whereas ordinarily, when you measure it, then you calculate the estimate, it's go from minus infinity to plus infinity. That's something different.
Yeah.
So, did you compute the S matrix as saying you go from this line to that line?
No.
Instead of from infinity to infinity?
No.
That might make a lot of difference.
I don't think so. I think that, I mean, this, so this Hamiltonian, when acting on this state, gives zero. Sorry.
I'm confused by the meaning of that X in the Hamiltonian.
Sorry, on that?
Are you integrating over X?
Is
X a specified function of T?
Yeah, so I build it as with the detector at rest in any point x. So this x is such that f of k is a distribution, is a particle distribution which is picked around x, okay? And it stays there. So with this initial condition, I get this effective Hamiltonian where the x is the same which I centered here, okay? Let's write it here. Now,
so have you put some arbitrary adjustable space-time function into your interaction Hamiltonian?
No. I just choose an initial configuration for the A particle. So, That's great. And in fact, I'm writing down a detector for an inertial particle. So this is the detector for the inertial particle. If naively, I just choose this x such that it follows an accelerated trajectory, I won't see anything. From here, I won't see anything.
But that seems physically inconsistent to make it accelerate without having provided some
precise
to accelerate.
Precise. But
Well,
what we know is the following, though. I can write you an Hamiltonian. So I just wrote the Hamiltonian for the particle at rest. I can write you the Hamiltonian for the particle which is moving with arbitrary velocity. Okay? With arbitrary velocity. So I may have a family of Hamiltonians V where I just transform. But this arbitrary velocity that won't transform this because these are relativistically invariant objects.
But then it's not debatable in your original theory.
Why not? I just
No.
Arbitrary fixed velocity.
Constant
velocity. It means that the A particle is just going constantly. Okay. So this is a relativistically invariant object. So if I do like you would do in the Hoover effect, that I just take this Hamiltonian and I follow an accelerated trajectory, I may do the same here. And take x following an accelerated trajectory.
That's not consistent physics without providing something to accelerate.
But well, not even this then. I mean, I say naively. It's true.
So your claim is you start with this field theory, you get this Hamiltonian, you dress it up, you get that Hamiltonian, you perform further manipulations based on the state of A, and you end up with this effective Hamiltonian.
At rest, let's say.
Well, that's what I'm trying to understand. But yeah. I thought your claim was, no matter what trajectory x of t follows, it will never excite the back.
So,
right? Or is that
so I agree that in order to be fully consistent, I should need, let's say, a fourth field that accelerates my detector.
If I just boost
this Hamiltonian, yeah. Doesn't see or effect because these are relativistically invariant objects.
No. It will annihilate the vacuum.
Yeah, because these are relativistic.
No thermality.
No. Yeah.
So you have, there's two wedges. And you would say you have a particle A coming freely as. It might turn into a B, it might turn into a B again, and if you look at this diagram, then A turns back into B. And if you look at all diagrams in flat space, you'll find that A will never go into B because it's energetically forbidden.
Yeah.
However, I can now also have this case, that since these are two wedges, this is infinity for the Hilbert observer, this is why it's infinity for the Hilbert observer. But for us, this particle A could turn into particle B, and yes, back into A again. However, this is a vacuum diagram.
That's a great
stationary observer.
Yeah.
But here you see that for the Hilbert observer,
that's great.
Only five times needed, and so the Hilbert observer may be lured into thinking that particle A did indeed go into particle B, because at infinity it's still particle B.
This is a perfectly legitimate virtual pictorial view of what's going on.
For the end of the particle A,
yeah, but this is the picture that you have with Feynman diagrams when you do perturbations theory. A is also a stable particle, and in the full theory there will be an eigenstate. So this picture of A that creates a quantum and then it annihilates again, it's a great perturbative picture, but there will be a part.
In an S matrix, you can never get B in the affine state. B is excited particle. So B is too heavy, B is unstable, so it will never be in the isotopic state.
Yeah, but.
However, for the Hilbert observer, it will be in the isotopic state every now and then because.
The free states.
This diagram is a totally legal diagram. I think you're wrong with this diagram that the five particle is emitted here and reabsorbed. That will never be seen by the Hilbert.
It is a great calculation tool, but.
Possibility that he will see the particle.
But you don't believe that will happen because you don't believe that's a perturbative picture.
This is a perturbative picture. It's a great perturbative picture for.
That picture multiply.
What? I mean, strictly. Can I ask you something? A is a stable particle, okay? So at the Hamiltonian level, now I'm talking about Hamiltonian, this is a great picture to make calculations, etc. But at the Hamiltonian level, there will be an eigenstate of the full theory corresponding to A.
So the full theory, as you know, will have part AB, will have a dressed particle where A every now and then is B plus phi.
Yeah.
That's the full theory. I mean, this is a local interaction.
I mean, I won't discuss about quantum field theory with you. So, I mean, I won't.
You're saying that'll never happen, but that's not valid because turbulence. And you're saying, why can't it happen? Yeah, basically.
I'm just saying. You have a great tools to make calculations in S matrix, where you borrow the states from the free theory consistently. From the point of view of the free theory, this is what's happening. So I take an A particle, and it goes like this, and then I analyze in terms of the free theory. But I'm saying, in terms of the full theory, there will also be states of these particles, which are eigenstates of the full theory, and that don't undergo anything. I mean, strictly are eigenstates of the full theory. The Hamiltonian evolution, time to time, sorry?
What's wrong with perturbation theory?
Because you shouldn't consider finite time processes. You shouldn't consider finite.
Because this infinite time for a window. It's finite time for us.
Yeah, but are the states that you are considering here consistent with the with the S matrix analysis that you do?
This is what the community journals see in a very good approximation. It's weak enough
because
it
observes
infinite amount of time to see the detection happen.
You see, Hera, your philosophy is closer to Bill's original in terms of defining particles and detection.
Yes.
And we don't think there's any problem. I think, Federico, your point, actually, it's much better made without getting into an accelerated situation like Lee's original first question. There's even staying at inertial, you're making a point that those particles, with respect to the dress vacuum, okay, will be very different from the particles detected on the undressed vacuum.
Yeah, but these are the true particles that I'm dealing with. If I'm considering a stable particle, and this is my stable, like I take an electron, okay, an electron on this table, an electron in this table won't be the eigenstate, won't be the state of the free theory. It's an eigenstate of the standard model.
But think back about 40 years. It was S matrix theory was established.
But it's great.
Those people who refuse to do S matrix theory for a good reason. Okay? So they look at the full solution, the LSZ representation, all those things. There's a parallel development to that. There's nothing wrong. If you go to that representation, you wouldn't talk about particles. Big deal, right? So you can get the whole solution. But in the perturbative limit, people can define particles that way and even draw diagrams to represent. I don't see any contradiction there.
There are differences, though.
Yeah. You hate perturbation theory, that's fine.
No, there are processes.
You can go back to the non-perturbative
representation. Maybe the pictures are consistent. I'm trying to bridge the gap in the sense that what you call the A particle is like the bare particle, and what you call the dress particle will contain lots of, if it's really mechanism of the fundamentalian, this best creation operator, I guess, when you construct it,
will contain that.
It's an infinite series that contains lots of A and A dagger of the B type. So what is changing here is the notion of asymptotic states.
That's right.
So, which is
so, and I say, yeah, and I say that my detector is already the particle considering all the possible diagrams, because
so when you go to the address,
so this entire thing, it also A part,
yes, the entire and all the sum of all these fields,
of course, is a normal definition,
and that's why, yeah, and that's why it's
that maybe the origin of some dispute here,
yes,
that equals a particle is a normal function,
exactly.
Exactly. I think the key is that. Precisely. So you can see here. So I won't be able to write this interaction Hamiltonian as an integral of a local potential, right? As an integral of a relativistic invariant local potential. Relativistic invariance is there and it's hidden because all the Poincaré transform, all the Poincaré commutation relations are preserved by this unitary transformation and just the unitary transforming. So the Poincaré, of course, it's hidden there. I mean, it's not easy to see at sight.
So in fact, to help you along that direction, along dress atom in cavity QED, people also inject atoms into that dress atom and do this kind of calculation. So of course, what they detect as particle is completely different from the case where you leave the field as the original, you know, Minkowski vacuum and so on. That's understandable. You're into a different representation. The particle definition is different. But if somebody decides to do it perturbatively, I don't see why they can obtain what they see.
Yeah, well, there are differences, though. I mean, okay. I don't see one effect, you see one effect. So these are two differences.
Set up the problem.
My main problem here is that there is no acceleration in the
earth.
There is no acceleration in this Lagrangian.
I can make it accelerate. I can make it accelerate.
Except it was built into the Sandoz problem. You cannot build it into your problem. It's a classical, but it's a C number in Unruh's problem. In your case, no, your detector is everywhere. And what does this acceleration mean? I don't know.
No, my detector is not everywhere because this is a function that in the Fourier space, so in the X, is perfectly localized. So I'm using a relativistic invariant theory, a localized particle as a detector, and the interaction comes out being non-local. Yeah, this is what I find.
But I think this is the key point, that at some point, that's what I was saying. You're playing with the notion of particle.
Eigenstate. Eigenstate. What should I use? What should I use? I should use the eigenstates of my Hamiltonian. If I choose as a detector in its rest, in its ground state, something which is not even stable.
But usually you use decoupling theory in dead time.
There's also this particle. And now I think this is the dangerous situation. That now this phi is at
region.
So this observer would never consider this to be legally dressed particle.
That's a different situation because of Poisson.
So that's a very dangerous thing to do because this observer only really sees the local fronts here.
The right side.
These are free particles you are talking about.
Bill tried to construct a third set of complete states, you remember? So that they could go overcome the non-analytic point when you get through the origin that helped them get the terminals and so on. So
it's essential, it comes in a calculation of Unruh's radiation.
Yeah.
Essentially, you only use these observers.
Exactly.
You never use those fields. If you do that, then anything can come out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's going to be wrong because this is fundamentally inaccessible to me.
But never, Federico's point is different altogether. He's trying to define. Particle, right?
But I think his definition of particle
really would come from
this very dangerous
time. Doubtless, this discussion can continue for some time.
That was the question.
Perhaps we should thank you,
Fred. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.